now?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
Welcome to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, WAUK, what is it, 540 AM and 101 FM, the show. Man.
It's early, isn't it?
You got it.
And by now, you know that voice. That's Sandy Williams for an encore performance. How you doing, Sandy?
Pretty good. I know your call letters.
Oh yeah. Hey, that's good, man. I'm really glad to have you back. You know, we got to do this again and again and again. And I wanted to begin by, it's going to be 62 degrees tomorrow.
Really?
Can you believe that, man?
Spring has sprung, huh?
Do you think, really, it's happened?
No, Wisconsin teases us like this.
But 62 degrees.
That just portends 8 inches of heavy snow sometime.
Well, we're going to get a lot of rain in the next couple of days, which should be snow this time of year.
Yeah.
And so we'll get a break from that anyway. But any chance of going golfing on
tomorrow?
Yeah. You at 62 degrees?
Well, I probably, the idea will dart through my empty brain.
well, but I don't think there's anything they can do the grass and certainly the greens and all that.
It's just the principle of the thing.
Yeah. But I'm sure there'll be some guys out, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, you got to.
There are people who play on the snow with orange golf balls.
Yeah. It's not you.
No.
Oh, okay. No. but 62 degrees, man. And then the other part about it is the next day it drops down to 42.
Well, you know, I'm this ice rink steward, so for me, actually, it's a sort of a sad thing to go up to 62 if it doesn't go back down. I think the forecast does show it getting quite cold a little bit after that because the rink steward in me looked at that and thought, oh.
So how's the rink holding up?
It's all right. We, the nightmare, this is a dull conversation except for people who ice skate. But,
oh, we got a couple minutes.
Slushy snow and wet snow is a rink nightmare. Hard to fix.
Right.
So the only thing that fixes it is some good warm weather that turns it into water and lets it start all over again. Yeah.
So how does that level off?
Well, water seeks its own level.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, that's basic physics or chemistry or something. Yeah. If water gets flat when it's water.
Okay, that's the end of the egghead conversation from the beginning.
We've done the warm and fuzzy.
You know, Sandy, I wanted to begin by Michael Gableman and his, you know, what he's come up with in after all of the investigations. What was that about?
I think it was about being able to talk about an investigation. I think the people who do PR and manage public opinion kinds of conduct understand that if you can say someone that something is under investigation, it puts a cloud over it and lets everyone foster suspicion, and it allows people to talk about things as if there's a fire because there's smoke. You know, an investigation is smoke, there must be fire. And, you know, the clearly a Republican strategy across the country has been to foster these investigations, which allows them some impunity to talk about, the big lie.
But it's been an embarrassment.
Well, has it been? I mean, I would guess that the pollsters look at this and find out that enough people bite on this bait and are willing to think about the big lie about the deep fraud that occurred in this last election, so they keep talking about it. Now, you know, those of us who hope for wisdom to prevail hope that the continuation of this talk will cause more and more people to see the light of day and see the foolishness of it all. But I presume because the Republicans, quite frankly, have been shrewd, if they haven't been anything else. They've seemed to be shrewd and cynical about how they play with public opinion. And my assumption is that they're testing public opinion, and this must work.
Well, but so what bothers me a lot about when I hear Republicans and especially prognosticators and others, and they say, well, the American people, as if the only American people are the ones who believe the things that they are saying. There's another whole side to that. And those people say, what a waste of time, energy, and money, and the outcome of what Gableman's, you know, investigation has all been for naught.
Well, I mean, people who talk about American people tend to be talking to their own people, right? They're right. Talking to their base and trying to stir them up. And I presume in today's world of polarity, the American people is 50% plus one of those who vote. So we've got, you know, 51% of the voters, which isn't even 51% of the American public, possibly thinking something. And that's the American people. The American people elected Donald Trump. The American people elected Joe Biden, but it certainly wasn't 100% in either case.
Yeah, you know, Gableman, and I was been listening to and reading about the outcome of this, and they found out that Mark Zuckerberg invested money in Democrats and did not do it for the just foolishness. I mean, they're not going to overturn this election. It's all, you know, we're into the second year, and yet they continue to push.
Well, I don't think this is about overturning the last election.
Preparing for the next.
I think it's about justifying the kinds of changes to laws and, you know, in terms of voting laws that apply to how we vote, how we count the vote, how we certify our electors to the Electoral College. That's what the Republicans want to tinker with, and so they're trying to lay the basis for saying that there has been sufficient suspicious conduct with respect to voting that we have to really tighten up the way we allow people to vote.
But they want to overturn and give the legislators the power to...
Well, who controls the state houses? I mean, yeah. You know, the Republican Party controls, I think, 30-plus number
right.
of the
right.
50 state houses. So if the legislature is in control of how we count the vote, I guess we've got the fox guarding the chicken coop.
So when you're on the other side of that and you see that for what it is, don't they ever think at some point in time, you know, maybe not in your or my lifetime, Democrats are going to eventually take back control over those state houses at some point in time, and the same thing is going to happen on the other side?
At some point, although I will say that the only way that it will happen, I think, likely, is if the Democratic Party starts speaking directly to and getting a coherent cohort of rural people to embrace the Democratic Party. I mean, the success of the Republican Party has been their capacity to basically overwhelmingly earn the support of rural America. And when you look at the demographics of states and how state houses are set up, state houses can be skewed significantly in the direction of the rural electorate in each state, and that's what's happened. You look at Wisconsin, you look at Michigan, you look at a whole number of states where the establishment of the lines for the voting districts, because of the, really, in many respects, because of the demographics of our country, the urban population is different ethnically and different demographically than the rural population, and it's concentrated in that fashion. Plus the fact we have a concentration of population in our urban sectors. So a majority of our people live in cities, but that majority, it gets condensed and concentrated into a more limited number of voting districts in the state houses, so that there are many rural districts, and it just ends up being quite a bit of math, quite frankly, that dictates the fact that the Republicans are controlling state houses, unless and until the Democratic Party reaches out and has Democrats living in rural sectors.
You know, those many of those rural sectors used to be blue.
Sure.
Because they're blue collar workers, right?
I mean, one of the ways that America changed and the job structure of our architecture of our economy changed is many of these small towns, like in Wisconsin, medium-sized towns, Wisconsin Rapids, very blue-collar town, all paper workers. We don't make so much paper anymore in Wisconsin. The same is true all around the country. Many medium-sized businesses were located in smaller towns, or even some big businesses. Janesville, for instance. Janesville suffered when General Motors and Parker Penn bit the dust in terms of their location of jobs there.
Kenosha with Chrysler.
Oh, and before that, American Motors.
And American Motors.
Yeah.
If you take all that into
consideration... Well, and furthermore, Outboard Marine. I mean...
Outboard Marine.
Yes.
But if you take all that into consideration, Sandy, you don't foresee a future where those people are going to switch back to Democrat. Those were unionized people.
Well, I'm not saying they won't switch back to Democrat. I'm just saying
something has to happen.
The Democratic Party, I think, is going to have to pay more attention to it. Clearly, the Republican Party, with all of the PR they're doing to try and attack urban America in ways that will speak to their base in rural America, needs to be addressed by Democrats, and they need to figure out how to enlist more of rural America, or we will have the statehouse problem, and the statehouse problem leads to congressional problem in terms of the head count, and I think that there will have to be changes in terms of the way the parties address the nation, or we will continue to have this ability of a Republican minority to be very successful at the state level.
You know, Sandy, you just don't see that change coming anyways soon, because I was also reading about the district maps where, you know, this morning you kind of saw that Hagedorn.
The district mapping.
We got to go.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So we'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. Okay. Sandy Williams is in the studio. We'll be right back.